We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling. On the corner.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A touch more.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. It's going to be a wild show today. We have a lot to talk about. Of course, we're going to kick it off by talking about the George Floyd murder. Yes, I said murder at the hands of a police officer in Minnesota. And then that'll kind of snowball into everything else that's currently going on in the climate. You know, Trump's tweets, different celebrities coming out on social media, handling things poorly, or in the case of a select few, well on social media, which we'll tap into. And we'll also talk about the old man's mentions being in shambles after one specific tweet. You had a lot of good tweets. This one caught fire. So we'll talk about that as well. So thank you guys for tuning in as always. Before we dive in, let me crack the claw. Because early to start this show, and I got a bottle of a Crown Royal Peach in here.
Oh, I got a bottle of Crown Royal Peach. Half of that shit is gone.
Yeah, I got to take a swig. Because it's that type of show. Man, let's start off with just, it's hard to avoid this news, but if you don't know, quick recap. So there have been protests for a few days now after the murder of George Floyd, who was murdered by a police officer. Let me see, I have his name here. Derek, I don't know how to pronounce that. Chauvin?
Fair.
Close enough, I don't care. Derek, lock your ass up. Who was murdered, George was murdered by him. The man stood on his neck, kneeled down on his neck with his knee for what people say 7 to 8 minutes. Throughout this, there was a video where you could see George saying he couldn't breathe. It's like a bad deja vu. We've seen this before. It was just, man, last week we were thinking about when are we going to be safe to go outside from COVID? And then you go outside and you're reminded, shit, there's entities outside that want to kill us even more than these diseases. So it's just been a crazy roller coaster of emotions the past couple of days that has turned into riots, which are being televised. crazy information where it's like maybe a police officer broke the windows to one place and then this one person died the first night. It's just been a storm around that, just a whirlwind of info. And then also there was the CNN journalist who was arrested while just doing his job, while black, in the midst of all this shit, which we'll talk about. It's mind-boggling to me. But first, paying our respects to George Floyd and his family, we have NBA players in Minnesota, I think, as we record this, as we speak, talking about this. Steven Jackson was close to him, called the man twin. They do look alike. And then you have, like, Karl Anthony Towns, members of the Timberwolves out there, just bringing attention to, you know, this horrible act. Dre, when this all went down, where were you at? What were your feelings when this video went viral? Because it all started with this video going viral, because Lord knows what happens if we didn't have the video.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I know I looked at it on my phone, and I mean, we're just in the midst of, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna in Louisville, and then this comes up, and I think I tweeted something along the lines recently, like, you know, everybody's scared of coronavirus, and we had to go back to being scared of the police, and this came back up, and I watched this video, and I couldn't believe what I was watching, you know, because, you know, when you're watching, I watched the video without context. I don't even think I've read the tweet. I think I just saw the visual of the cop on his neck, and I'm watching it, and this is an abnormal amount of time to detain somebody. You know, it's one thing to detain somebody, handcuff him. You're saying he can't breathe. When does morality come into play? And you say, you know what? As a cop, I've heard this shit before. I've heard I can't breathe. I need to let up, because he was already cuffed. So as I watched this, and the first clip that I watched, somebody actually the person who recorded fast forwarded, and I noticed that 6 minutes had passed. It doesn't take long to kill somebody when they can't breathe or lead to permanent brain damage. But then I realized I just watched a man die at the hands of police again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's disgusting, but I mean, I think I tweeted the day that I'm numb. You know, I'm angry, of course, but I'm also numb because it's like, well, when does this stop? And, yeah, there's so many things to talk about, because for those who have listened to the show, my wife is going to law school. She's going to be an attorney. She's not going to be a criminal attorney. She's looking to do contracts, but she's very much into the process. She sits in on judges. She studies cases, and we talk a lot, because for those of you that don't know, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was very active. Las Vegas local organizing committee, the National Hip Hop Political Convention. We held rallies and protests. We did Know Your Rights campaigns. We educated the masses on how to deal with police, what you can and can't do, things like that. So that's always been my bag. My wife has always been on the legal side of things, on how do we get these people incarcerated, sentenced, charged, because sometimes you can't even get them charged. The grand jury just says, fuck it, I'm not going to do anything with this because they're cops. So we've had a lot of conversations about this, and there's been a lot of things that she's educated me to in terms of the legal process, in terms of overcharging was what happened with George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin case. They went for premeditation when that was almost impossible to prove that it was premeditated, and they lost, and Zimmerman ended up walking free. The difference between civil and criminal cases and who does what and how much we need to start educating ourselves on the legal process, or else we're always going to be disappointed with the outcome. So we'll go down the steps of everything that's happened, including the protests, including the celebrities, and everything else. But my initial thought was, we need to change our approach to this. Yes, we need to be emotional. Yes, we need to have an outrage, because we're pissed off. We're tired of this shit happening. But once we're done burning down Target, which no black people own, and once the precinct goes up in flames, which no black people own, they keep talking about communities. Yes, I know these targets give a few people jobs, but the only way you can get the attention of the establishment is to threaten their financial institutions, anything that makes them money, or be a threat to their livelihood. Being a threat to each other doesn't bother them one bit. They don't care about black people killing black people. It is only until, as we saw with Amy Cooper, when you're fearing your life from a black individual is when people step up and do something. So now we've threatened them. We're burning shit up. And people say two wrongs don't make a right. Well, listen, guys, if there was never a wrong in the first place, we wouldn't fucking be here. If it, you know, so every is it right? No, it's absolutely not right. But you know what? You can replace that precinct. You can replace that target. You know what you can't replace? That man's life. Yeah. There ain't no insurance policy that can cover that shit. So if you're up in arms now about how we're reacting, and now you're mad, you should have been mad then. Because if you were mad then, maybe this fool would have got arrested before. Even though it's really hard, what I've learned is it's really hard to get a cop arrested. It's almost fucking impossible to get it expedited. Because there's so many things that you have to go through in order to get it done. But if you've noticed, if you make enough noise, then things will happen. And we had to make noise. If these protests didn't happen, that fool would still be walking.
Yep.
I can guarantee it. So, yeah, if it takes a little collateral damage of a Target burning down and you can't go buy your towels and, you know, if it's a super Target, you can't get some groceries, sorry for you. A man just died. Deal with it. So I don't know where you want to go down the steps because there's a lot to discuss here, but I'll take your lead on this.
All right. I'm trying to go down in the best order that kind of makes sense. So George Floyd is murdered at the hands of this officer. The officer walks. He is now in custody as the time we're recording this, but I believe it took almost 2 days to get him even in custody. Not like you know, you brought him in, he made bond or bail or whatever, and bounced. Nothing like that. It took this amount of time to even justify bringing him in. We have a statement from the prosecutor, not the defense attorney, a possible prosecutor, to even bring charges against him, saying, you know what, there might not be enough, or there might be another piece of video that shows it wasn't criminal. Makes no sense. Like, your job is to represent the person who has just died.
It's a challenge, man. Like, what I'm learning, the more that I read about grand juries and indictments and what it takes to bring a cop to justice, yo, listen, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich, and this is what my wife said. Like, they will. But when it comes to the cops, it's like you're trying to police the police. And they're going to protect their own, and they're going to exhaust every opportunity before they feel compelled to bring somebody in. And you also have to remember, like, the district attorney, that's not even necessarily on, he's not on your team either. Because it's up to the DA, and this is why I support him, because when people talk about state prosecutors and people like Kamala Harris, you need those people out there to either A, say we're going to go after this, or B, say we're not prosecuting this. So when people look at Kamala Harris and call her a cop, fed, or you look at black people in the police, those people need to be there. Yeah. So when this comes up and, you know, a DA or the prosecutor is like, I don't know if there's enough, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to bring a flimsy case up. That's what you don't want to do, because you have to figure out what the charges are going to be. And I guess we'll start there, because today the charges are third-degree murder, which is only available in, I want to say, 7 states, and Minnesota is one of them, and manslaughter. And I want to say this because there's a lot of people that are really pissed off about third-degree murder, right? Third-degree murder carries a maximum sentence of 25 years. And I know a lot of you will immediately say, that's not enough. I agree. That's not enough. Emotionally, that's not enough. Legally, it's different. Because first-degree murder is obviously premeditation and carrying out the execution. Yeah. That didn't happen here. Second-degree murder is acting upon impulse with an intent to kill. Yeah. And people want second-degree murder. This is going to be extraordinarily difficult to prove. A cop who is detaining somebody and kills him is going to be almost is an astronomical task to ask the prosecution to prove that he acted upon impulse and then intended to kill him. Third degree murder is not knowing necessarily what you're doing, but you killed somebody. Like, knowing that you're gonna harm him, but the intent is not necessarily to kill. And any police department and any police officer, for the most part, has been able to argue this down by saying, no, I attempted to detain him. And now it's the prosecution's job to prove it. Like, no, you tried to kill him. And when I say it, now you may realize, like, I don't think he was actually trying to kill him. He killed him. He was reckless. He did everything wrong, and you have to ask the police department, like, yo, what the fuck is in your handbooks that suggests that putting a knee on a man's neck is a way to detain somebody? That's the challenge. And people are upset and want second-degree murder, but you don't want a George Zimmerman situation happening again where this man walks. Because then you're going to be tearing shit up again. So I employ all of you to do your research on why a lot of these cops have gotten off. Like, Zimmerman wasn't even a fucking cop. They just overcharged him. But why cops get off? Look at that first. Look at what the prosecution charges them with. And look why the jury doesn't find a guilty verdict. Figure that part out first. And then go back and say, is it better to come with an empty palm? Or at least get something out of this? Because 25 years is still a long time. It's not going to be exactly what you want. But man, I'm not trying to have another situation where I see a cop who murders somebody get off because it was impossible for the prosecution to prove. Because you have to remember, the prosecution may not necessarily like the case, and they could fuck this up on purpose. It happens. So you guys got to pay attention to that. Kel, I want you to say your piece, because I want to touch on this before we go deeper into it, because I want to talk about Benjamin Crump. And I've seen a lot of people critical about Benjamin Crump being involved in this, calling him an ambulance chaser, calling him a race baiter, calling him 2020 Al Sharpton. I want to get into that, but I want you to say your piece, and then we'll kind of backtrack before you start moving forward.
All right, we'll get back to the show in 1 second, but first, there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, Bet Online. NASCAR is back, and Bet Online has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7, or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free.
And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit BetOnline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
Yeah, and you know more about the Crump situation than I do, but I think people like him are very important, because my stance on this is, even after you break down and you've said this on Twitter and reading everything, what then justifies second degree murder? Because in this case, there's clear audio. Other cases, I understand. Maybe you have barely any video. You have he say, she say. You just have the guy who died on the ground and then the officer or your video, but you don't have the content and some audio behind it. In this case, you hear a man for 5 minutes saying, I cannot breathe. At one point, I believe he actually says, you are going to kill me. And he does not get up. At that point, when the guy says, I cannot breathe. I'll give you three times. When he can't say it, you then assume the responsibility and the liability in killing him. You then know at that point that he may die. No longer is that a mistake. When it's audible and on video, that is no longer a mistake. You now know that you are killing the man. To me, it's kind of like, it's very different, but in my head, the way it works is like, you know, the drastic arc of sexual assault and rape, right? Like, that is, to me, as close as you can get to the full extent of it without going out of your house that day and saying, you know what, I'm going to kill a black man. But when you're on top of a black man and he says, yo, I can't breathe, for 6 minutes, you knew at that point that I can probably kill him. You can think maybe he's lying, but you know audibly, and now you can recognize that there is a chance that I'm going to kill this man. To me, I don't understand how that's not second degree murder, but to your point, the prosecutor, it's how they, you know, go after this and take the case. Isn't it true that the family can go and get whatever prosecutor they want and not the one given to them? So that's where other guys, like you said, for lawyers to come in and say, you know what, I'm going to take the case. I'm going to give you the right form of justice. I'm going to give you someone who cares.
So, yes, you can retain your own prosecuting team. It's very fucking expensive, first and foremost.
Yeah, they got to do this shit on the strength. I understand it's expensive, but again, you're about to talk about someone who comes in who's, quote-unquote, an ambulance chaser. But no, there's people who legit devote their time to these things and want to help.
So I'm going to backtrack to your first thing. Second-degree murder. While what you're saying is true, you're talking about two individuals. You're talking about, like, me and you, and I'm on your neck. And you say you can't breathe. I don't know any better because I'm just a person. The difference here is that you have a cop. Cops, they run by a different set of rules. So when it comes to second degree murder, the cops can, because I can guarantee you that this has happened before, where they say, well, we've had people lie to us before and say they can't breathe. No. Right? So there's going to be an issue there, and it's going to be their job to prove that this happened. So here's an example of second degree murder. Me and you get in a fight. You're trying to, you know, you're hitting me, I'm hitting you back. I grab a shotgun and I shoot you out of impulse, and you're dead.
Yeah.
The shotgun is clear intent to kill, right?
Yep.
Impulse, kill. Third degree murder, though, in this case is different because it's like we're wrestling and I do something that I mean to hurt you, but I don't mean to kill you, and you die.
Yeah.
So in the case of a cop, because the immediate argument is detainment. This is what we did to detain him. Now you can argue like reckless endangerment and a few other things, but it's really hard to prove second degree with a cop. That badge is like, it gives you freedom to do all kinds of shit. As we have seen for the last 30 fucking years of cops getting off, it's because there's always an out for them. There's always an out. So you like things that have to change are hiring practices with the police, training practices, chokeholds, how are they detained, the use of tasers, use of firearms, proper training. Cops that are familiar with neighborhoods, that's like really key.
Proper vetting. There's no reason why people on the internet can find pictures of someone being a white supremacist and a police officer, but you cannot vet them before you gave them the badge.
It's dude, there's a lot that has to go into and this is where like Johnny Cochran was important, because Johnny Cochran, like, yeah, he got OJ off, right? But Johnny Cochran's true goal here was to indict the LAPD for being crooked, right? OJ just happened to be there, and he was just a high profile case, but he was the right case because as soon as the Mark Furman shit came up, Cochran was all over that shit. And he wanted to show you that LAPD was crooked as fuck. Yeah, OJ got off. A lot of us think he killed killer, everything. Like, all those things are true. But Cochran was after something here. And we need more people like that. So, second degree, it's hard. Now, Benjamin Crump. I've seen a lot of people say, well, what does Benjamin Crump do? He doesn't get people prosecuted. First thing I want to tell people, he's not a prosecutor. He tries cases civil cases, wrongful death, like civil rights, things like that. Crump is going to have nothing to do with criminal charges to get this cop locked up, and the other three if they're getting charged as well. Nothing. His job is to, like, what people have to realize is his job is to hit these places where it hurts, and that's in their pockets. So you have to charge, I mean, you have to go for judgments and settlements. And people say, settle. No, in civil cases, settlement's an actual good thing, right? Because, dude, this shit is impossible. You're not getting a conviction in a civil case. That's not how it works. It's a completely different court. It happens at a completely different time. And for the most part, a lot of us are completely unaware of when it happens. Because civil cases aren't like the Menendez brothers or OJ. Those things don't get tried on television. What Crump does is he sets out to look to attack on how they're being treated in the media, the wrongful death things, to get a settlement from the state or the police department to pay the family. They represent the family. And Crump, they was like, well, Crump doesn't win. Crump has won. He's gotten many of judgments. And a lot of times these cases are sealed, so you don't know exactly how much they get. But I believe in the case of I'm trying to remember the kid's name. Boot Camp, Florida, happened in like 97 or something like that. Martin Lee Anderson. He got the family a judgment of like several million dollars, and he changed how boot camps and juvenile detention centers were treating the kids. He did that. And when people look at these situations, they go Trump and Al Sharpton and ambulance chasers. They're not. Like, Al Sharpton, you need people on the front lines. And what I want to remind people is the family doesn't have to hire Benjamin Crump. They don't. The man has results. He's gotten families money. He has hit the police departments in the state where it hurts often because he's good at his job. You see him on TV, and we have to stop doing this thing. When we see a black person on TV too much, we automatically think he's doing something wrong. Or we automatically think that they're doing something to tap dance for the white man. Johnny Cochran didn't do that shit. Johnny Cochran was a bad man. And Benjamin Crump is not doing it either. I ask of all of you to do your research. Google's your friend, folks. Like, somebody was arguing with me on social media. A guy who I know that used to work at a record label, who I was cool with, was arguing with me, telling me all the times that Benjamin Crump has failed. And I was like, man, do your fucking Googles. All you have to do is Google all the times that he has won and the estimated settlements and what he sought out for. Yeah, because we've all seen it before. Somebody sues for $100 million. And you're like, that dude ain't got $100 million. The fuck is he going to get that from? And it's not about that. Because we all know, like, if you watch Trial by Media, and I know I'm going in the weeds of this, Trial by Media on Netflix is an excellent watch about Bernard Goetz, who was the vigilante who shot four black men on the subway, and he said that he was going to be robbed. But then when they investigated and they questioned him, it was almost like premeditation. And they sued him for, like, they won a civil suit for him for, like, a ton of money. All they did was file bankruptcy because nobody has this kind of money. But you have to make your case, and you have to establish yourself, and you have to hit him where it hurts. You may not get all the money. You may not even see a dime. Central Park 5, same thing. You may not see a dime of that money. But you have to take down those individuals, and that's what Crump does. He takes down those individuals. But if it's, like, the state, or LAPD or NYPD or whoever he's going against, they got the money. They're going to get paid. But individuals, it's like impossible. So in this case, Crump is going to be going after the Minnesota Police Department. He'll be the one who challenges hiring. He'll be challenging their handbook on how to detain. He'll challenge what information is released about Floyd to the media. He'll challenge all four officers and their experience. Were they rookies? Should they have been out there? Their histories? That's what he will do. And you won't see any of that on your television like you will see the criminal trial. So it's two completely different things.
He serves a purpose. And to cut down anyone that wants to help, listen, I don't care. Yes, it heightens his profile, right? Some of us have, in everything we do, we have selfish motives. Everything. But in the end, if we're also trying to help others, then that's great. If he wants to help, let the man help. Like you said, they don't have to retain him. If they do, let him get busy, because that's what he does. So that's the first thing. Then rolling out of that is people were just fed up that it took so long to get one arrest. Mind you, at this time, we still haven't gotten a word on the other three police officers who were there, what their role was in this. They all got fired, so they all have a role.
Yeah.
Is it manslaughter? Is it, you know, lesser charge? Something. What is their role? How about, at this point, my expectation and my bar is so low. I just want them to be detained so we get the information and their names. Who are these people? And they will have to live with that shame forever. I'll take that at this point.
Yeah, they got to build a case, man. They got to figure out what they're going to charge him with. Is it reckless endangerment? Is it disregard of life? Like, there's so many things here that it's going to take reviewing of the tapes to figure out what's going to happen. So,
in the meantime, we have these riots.
Yeah.
So, I see it. I'm not going out and rioting and looting. I'm personally not in position to do that. I just can't. I can't go out, riot, loot. It wouldn't look good on the resume. I can't do it. Personal, selfish reasons, sue me. But I understand why people riot and loot. And it's like, you know what? Like you said, if you're fed up and nothing is being done, you hit them where it hurts. You hit the city, you hit these big corporations, you hit them where it hurts, and then they pay attention to you for right or for wrong. And to me, that's all they're doing, but I see so many people in my timeline this morning, which got me fed up, so many Martin Luther King quotes, oh, why can't we just peaceful protest? Oh, see, this is the problem. And we'll get to Trump in a second, but everyone's calling for peaceful protest. But these same people saying that shit said Kaepernick should never play on another team. And that you're disrespecting the flag by taking a knee. They don't want peaceful protest. They want protest that does not hinder their everyday life and being. They want protest that they do not have to see. They want invisible protest, not peaceful protest. And none of that shit is going to help.
Yeah, I mean, I posted on Twitter today, there are two movies that you need to watch on Netflix. One's called Let It Fall. It talks about the civil unrest right ahead of the Rodney King riots. And the other one's called LA 92, which is never before seen footage pulled together of the LA riots. And you're going to watch this and you're going to go, man, what the fuck has changed? Not a whole lot. It's been 30 years and the same things are happening. But what you do need to pay attention to is how much has to happen before people react. And in this case, yeah, you can march. I've marched. I've protested. It's minor hindrance to, like, the general public. You know, it doesn't bother them. Like, if you peacefully stand on the corner and hold up your sign, you know, a few people, like I've had happen to me before, a honk could be like, get out of the way, nigger, and they'll keep it moving. Other people just completely ignore you. Now, if I get out in traffic, now I'm disrupting your life because you got to go to work. Now you're paying attention. Which leads to, I've seen people get hit by cars. And I've seen people victim blame. I was like, why was he saying that? Because you're not fucking listening to me. Like, have you ever seen a kid who needs attention and watch what they do after a while? Because at first it's simple. Mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. Then they start acting out. Because, like, what do I got to do for you to pay attention to me? Now, we're not children. We're adults. But you're killing us. And we're saying, cops, president, local officials, hey, stop, stop. This hurts. You're killing us. You killed my brother. You killed my sister. You killed my mother. You killed my father. You did this. You shot somebody else. You beat this person on camera. We see it. Now we see you. We've watched these things happen. And you're still ignoring us. So then we go out and protest. We stand on the corner, hold our signs. If anybody remembers Tupac Resurrection, where he talks about protest, and he talks about the kids standing outside, we are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. They don't fucking let you in. And then he was like, I'm picking the lock and I'm coming through. And now you're like, oh shit, now you're scared. So these protests, look, man, I'm not an advocate for, you know, violence, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. My only concern with, like, burning things up is if anybody's in the building and somebody gets hurt. Or if they were talking about those gas lines and something explodes and a whole bunch of people are getting hurt. Those are my concerns. But I understand. I understand what it takes to get people's attention, because y'all, when I say y'all, I talk about the greater mainstream America that doesn't listen to us and allows these things to go on, or the president who has ignored these deaths for years, and now he's upset, and now he wants to bring order back to Minnesota because now you got to pay attention. But you didn't pay attention when the black man's dead. You would have said, oh, that was bad. That was real bad. No, y'all, no shit was bad. We all saw it. It's the people that I'm paying my tax dollars to protect my life are killing me again. Mm-hmm. So when you protest and you can't, like, you can do it peacefully, and a lot of people really go out there with the determination to just be very, very peaceful, but vigilant. They're not going to take no shit, but they're going to be peaceful. Now, guaranteed, there's always going to be a few of them, because we all have friends that pop off. We all have friends that got our back, but they pop off. So when the first drop of a dime, shit happens. But dude, as long as there's no bodily harm, like, these cops aren't getting beat up. They got full riot gear on. Like, when you come, like, think about it. We've all been in a situation. Like, if what is the indicator for a fight? Like, if you're talking to somebody, like, with women, it's like taking out your earrings, right? And when two women are getting ready to fight, and one starts taking out her earrings, you go, oh, shit, it's about to be a fight.
Yep.
Dudes, it's like, if I take off my shirt, what's up then? That's what these cops do when they put on riot gear. It's the what's up then to the protesters. And protesters, we ain't no bitch. That's just kind of out of roll. So, yeah, if you want to be mad about some fucking property damage, so be it. But listen, man, if you would have listened to us earlier, shit would have never happened.
That's what it comes down to. It's like, yo, sooner or later, being heard is the number one priority. And whatever it takes to get there, it takes to get there. So, I don't know, man. I don't see what the problem is when stuff escalates. Because when you start it, when you start beef, that's the problem. The cops started beef. Whatever happens after that is fully justified. You can't tell someone how far to take something. I've been like that since I was little. I think that's ingrained in most of us, especially like if you grew up in like the hood or just normal places. And someone's like, when we were little, what was the thing? Yo mama, right?
Yep.
That was it. No context. Yo mama. After you say yo mama, beef is on. Whatever I do to you after that, you got to accept it. So when you catch these hands and this ass whooping, my man, I could have just said, yo mama back. Or yo mama so fat and give you a yo mama joke. Yeah, that's peaceful protest. But if I say yo mama so fat, you know, she need to put her belt on with a boomerang because I got that shit from the Eddie Murphy movie, Nutty Professor. And then people laugh and the next day you come back, you say yo mama again. Guess what? My peaceful protest didn't work. I got to whoop your ass. And that's what this is. Sooner or later, the peaceful stuff doesn't work. I got to come whoop your ass. It just so happens. And that's where we are. So when you start beef, anything that comes back is justified in my eyes. And then that rolls into something that hits a different level, but equal, you know, it just adds on a cherry on top to the shitty situation. Is I wake up and I see that a CNN journalist, I forgot to write his name down, I'll have that in a second, but was arrested doing his job live on air doing a hit by police officers because they didn't like where he was standing. He politely asked, where would you like me to stand? And they don't say anything. It goes on for what has to be 30 seconds. And then, excuse me, his name is Omar Jimenez. Let me pause, respect the brother. His name is Omar Jimenez. And then the cops take him into custody, realize he has the crew with him. And I think at that point, watching it, they're like, shit, if we're going to take him, we got to take everyone so these black people don't get more upset and arrest the whole crew. Journalists just doing their job. The man shows them his badge. They show him everything. It is ridiculous. And then to wake up to that, and it's just like, that's the epitome of stupidity in my mind. When you know why the riots are happening, why you know people are upset, you know the role race plays in this whole situation, for you to go out there and not have pause to arrest a black man live on television, you're an idiot. And that shows me all I need to know about that police force. They have no common sense. And not just the man who murdered someone 2 days ago. The entire fucking force has no common sense.
Yeah, I mean, what we have to remember is, like, these cops are human, too. And when you're human, you're stupid. And somebody sent the signal somewhere. It was like, clear the area no matter what. If anybody's out there, arrest them or something to that degree. That's probably what happened. They lacked any nuance in this. Saw the CNN crew, and somebody got the ball to say, let's just arrest them. Not really considering the ramifications behind that. I mean, how the optics? Like, dude, you just arrested a CNN camera crew, which was just reporting on the situation. They weren't in your way. They weren't bothering you. They weren't condemning you. They weren't throwing bottles. They were doing their job. It looks bad. But this will be water under the bridge, unfortunately. We'll see if CNN, how they handle this, because it's their people they're going to have to bail out or whatever is going to happen to them, because they're probably just detained. But it's just another situation where it's like, man, I question the training of these cops. Like, what? Nobody wants to be a cop these days. And the people that do want to be cops, there's two things. They're very noble individuals who really are, like, looking out for justice and, you know, protecting people, just like firemen. Like, they really want to do this. And that goes for black cops, too. And there's just some people who just really want a gun and a badge and to flaunt power. And unfortunately, I feel like maybe 60%, 70% of the force came in with that on their mind. And maybe 30% really genuinely wanted to help people. I just hate to be in the mix as a police officer being ordered to be on the front lines. It sucks, man. It sucks. And arresting a CNN crew reporting on the situation? God damn, that's just a terrible look.
It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. And shout out to Omar, who went right back. Got out of jail, went right back, and kept doing his job. Because they can't silence us. You can't silence minorities in general as much as some entities would like to. Can't silence us. And then, again, the few of us who work our ass off to be parts of the media and be able to tell this story to the general public, which isn't fake news, which is reporting the truth from a perspective of someone living it. For him to go back out there and say, you know what, that's more important than me being fucking traumatized. Because I came on this podcast after I was tailed for like fucking half a freeway, pulled over and taken to jail. So I get out of jail 4 days later. And to come on this podcast a couple years ago, if you guys haven't heard it, shit, you can dig it up. It's like 3 years ago. And I vent on here. I couldn't imagine. I didn't want to do shit after getting out of jail besides take a hot shower, take a nap, and then come and rant on this podcast. He got out smelling like jail. If you guys ever been arrested, jail smells shitty. It's horrible. It's hard to get that jail smell out of you, even if you're just in a holding tank. So he went right back on the streets to do his job. Like, my man, all kudos to you. He's a hero on a different level because he cares that much about telling the truth and his responsibility as a reporter, as a journalist. That shit is next level. So, yeah, that was ridiculous. And now, well, this will be the last thing we'll talk about before we take a quick break and then come back with kind of your timeline and celeb reactions and shit to all of this. But Trump's tweet on Twitter, which was retweeted by the White House official account, which shout out to you, I reported it after I saw it on your timeline. It has since been taken down. But Trump's tweet, where at the end he says, looting leads to shooting. He takes a direct quote from a racist speech. I believe it was like in the 60s, Miami, racist speech. This guy can't hide his racism if he tried. He's done some good things in business in his lifetime. He's earned.
He really
hasn't,
actually.
I mean, he's
a business failure, to be honest. He's inherited a ton of money.
He's failed up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's filled up. He's, I mean, it's the white
he's
way.
He's outkicked his coverage. Yeah, by a mile,
it's
right?
The American way with 3Ks, yes.
It's fucking crazy. Outside of that, I feel very comfortable with calling him stupid and an idiot. People are like, how could you be stupid? You became president. You succeeded in all these things. Listen, his credits and his accolades are his credits and accolades. You can't convince me he's not a fucking idiot. He has no common sense, and that tweet to be so tone deaf and to pretty much advocate using military power to harm citizens. If I see idiots defending this, it's beyond belief. When I posted about the CNN journalist getting arrested and how ridiculous it was on my Facebook, seeing someone come into my comments and say, well, that's what CNN gets. They kill people every day with their fake news. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're more of an idiot than the idiot for following him and listening to this shit. News has been around longer than this idiot has been spilling lies. But you'll listen to him instead of listening to people who go to school, who dedicate their lives to this shit, who, guess what? We don't get paid incredible amounts of money. We don't get paid as much as Trump. We're doing this shit because we have a responsibility to telling the truth. Some shit is from different viewpoints. Fox News has their own viewpoint. CNN has their own viewpoint. They stretch boundaries every now and then. But no one outright fucking lies like the president. And he's conned an army of people into believing him. And this is just the latest example. I've seen people defend this tweet, and it's driven me to drink this Crown Royal Peach. I couldn't believe it.
I can believe it. Doesn't mean I like it. But this is kind of what I've been alluding to when I talk about Trump. He ain't out for black votes. He's catering to his base. And his base are the people who agree with this type of shit. His base are the people who wanted America to open up again so they can go to work. They didn't want to ask the government for another stimulus check to be taken care of. They wanted to go to work. They wanted to be free and be able to catch coronavirus whenever the fuck they wanted. That's Trump's base. And when he says things like this and we go, man, that was stupid. It's stupid to us because we wouldn't say it. But it's not stupid to him. He knows what he's doing. Like, he's dumb and ignorant in a lot of things, like being the president. He's clearly not qualified for the job. But he's smart in the sense that he knows how to cater to his base and give them what they want. Because we've never had a president who's been as outlandish, outspoken, and had Twitter fingers like Donald Trump. Never happened. And this appeals to people. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been president in the first place. This fucking guy won. The craziest thing is, like, when Bush was president, a lot of us said, man, it can't get no worse than this. And Obama became president as a counter to Bush. There was no better time to have the first black president until you had a guy who was a complete moron, who watched people drown in Katrina, who 9/11 was on his watch, and a number of other things. And we said, it can't get any worse than this. And we got Barack Obama and we relaxed. Trump was the answer to Obama. And if you don't think it can get any worse than Trump, boy, I got a bridge to sell you. Because you have to be careful. It just gets worse, man. Like when Reagan was president, people were like, I can't believe that motherfucker's a president. He's an actor. And people were like crazy about him being an actor. Then Bush became president because, you know, you had to go through the years of Clinton. And then Clinton was, quote unquote, the first black president when he really wasn't. And he was really bad for us, too. But he played saxophone on Arsenio Hall. We got excited, voted for him, and said he smoked weed. He's a black president. No, he wasn't. But they countered with Bush. Bush came in and we were like, holy shit, he's worse than Reagan and his daddy. I almost forgot his daddy. He's worse than Reagan and his daddy. Look at all the things that happened on his watch. Can't get any worse than this. So then when we vote for Obama, which is the extreme on the other side, black president. Woo, got a black president. Feels so much better now. And then the right said, Tea Party, you know, Obamagate, all this other bullshit. They said, man, we got a motherfucker for you now. Trump. A man with no experience, who's reckless, but he won. Because that's the way this country works. Back and forth. More extreme and more extreme. So when this guy tweets about shooting looters and basically gives the military a license to kill, it's catering to his demographic. It's catering to the people that wanted this. Because he needs, more than anything else, to get reelected by catering to his base. And it's up to Joe Biden to convince people to get off their asses and vote. And Biden's not a very good candidate. I said the same thing about Clinton. Not a very good candidate. He's got to
move. You would say that. At least his response today was really good.
It doesn't matter. Because here's like what I said years ago. The Democratic Party had a Royal Rumble, right? And the Royal Rumble lasted too long for anybody to back one particular candidate. So now we're not voting for Biden. We're voting against Trump. And that's troubling fair. When you have people that you and I both know don't vote. They don't get off the couch. They voted for Obama because it was a symbol. It was like, black president, I want to be a part of history. Everybody got up, ran to the voting polls, got Obama in, felt proud of themselves, then got pissed off when Obama didn't speak to the black community. Got, like, irate. Fuck Obama. I've seen this happen all the time. Even though he's the president of the United States and he had to be very nuanced and he wasn't the perfect president, and to be a politician, you have to have some level of corruption. Nobody wanted to hear any of that shit. All people wanted to see was the black president doing black things. That's all people wanted to see. They didn't get it. They got pissed. With Joe Biden, you're voting against Trump. You're not voting for Obama. You're not voting for Biden. You're voting against Trump. And to convince people in your neighborhood to go vote for this white man who's running against another white man, you know how many people from my hood are going to be like, man, get the fuck out of here. I ain't voting for neither of those. And it's real. So now so going back to the tweet, Trump is just basically doing what he needs to do to keep the ones that he has and make sure they go vote for him. And they hate looters. They hate black people. They like guns. They like Confederate flags. They hate hip-hop. They hate kneelers. This is it. Shoot them. Yes, that's what we want to do. Because the only people that are stupider than Trump are the people that voted for him. And those are the motherfuckers who will keep him in office.
So even beyond all of the Trump craziness and everything that's going on, celebrities were also tweeting their opinions. I feel like Twitter is just this weird-ass place, right? When these things happen, because you get, you know, people with voices like yours and other people who stand up and you applaud them. And like we'll talk about now, and Taylor Swift, and you're like, yo, shit, I'm going to stream your album because you know what? You're talking some good shit. Like, it's okay to recognize people who are trying to be allies and be like, all right, at least kudos for trying to lend your voice to a good cause. Like, no, you won't completely understand how we feel. You're not trying to downgrade the situation. You're lending your voice in a way that if it can help in a tiny bit, you're doing it, and that's appreciated. Taylor Swift did that with her tweet that you recognized. On the flip side, which I love the quote and use it often, all skin folk ain't kinfolk. And you call out Lil Wayne's response to this, pretty much saying, if I'm not giving money, if I'm not going out there and being in the protest myself, I'm not going to lend my voice to this. I'm going to stay out of it completely. Was paraphrasing his stance on this when he talked to Fat Joe online. And then, furthermore, you dug into the Kanye West and him wearing the MAGA hat and him backing Trump leads to this type of stupid-ass racism. And to the point of, he, to me, can't go to sleep feeling well with himself tonight. Because I don't care if it's 0.00001%. He has to feel as though he played a part in pushing this stupid-ass rhetoric.
Okay, so where do we start? We start with Taylor Swift. We'll start with Taylor Swift's tweet.
We start with the people blowing up your mentions. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Do we got to take a swig of the claw? Yeah. Are you doing all right?
I'll explain. So if for those who haven't seen, Taylor Swift tweeted, after stoking the fires of white supremacy and racism your entire presidency, you have the nerve to feign moral superiority before threatening violence. When the looting starts, the shooting starts, we will vote you out in November, Donald Trump. 918,000 likes, 221,000 retweets, and 48,000 mentions. Lil Wayne said what he said. Kanye said nothing, but he's worn MAGA hats for a president who has advocated for military force. So I tweeted, let me see if I can find it, Taylor Swift with a hammer for white supremacists while Kanye rocks his MAGA hat, Lil Wayne points the finger at us. The epitome of skinfolk ain't always your kinfolk. My mentions have been in shambles because people are like, oh, you're proud of Taylor. You taking up for white people. No. There's something called juxtaposition that some of you stupid motherfuckers need to learn. My point is that if we see somebody as lily white and vanilla as Taylor Swift with the balls to say anything, because she doesn't really have to. Yeah, okay, you can say she's doing it for the clicks, whatever. You can say all that, but she did it. And she's never been, like, as lily white as she is, and as things that she have done that we've been like, ugh. When she does something like this and invigorates her base, you got to acknowledge it. Look, man, you just got to acknowledge it. It's necessary because celebrity culture drives people, which leads me to Kanye West and Lil Wayne. This isn't the first nor is it the last time Lil Wayne is going to say something stupid. Because if anybody remembers Black Lives Matter, on the Dateline interview, he's like, what is that? I'm not that. I don't feel connected to a damn thing. That ain't got nothing to do with me, is what Lil Wayne said. This was in 2016. Now he goes on Fat Joe's thing and basically reiterates in the midst of all this that this shit ain't got nothing to do with me. Meanwhile, if you recall, when Lil Wayne got locked up, how many of y'all were wearing Free Weezy shirts? I know I wasn't. But I know a lot of people were, because they had his back, because he was black. It felt like the black man was getting a bad rap. And I remember, I've talked about this show before. I fell out with Nicki Minaj over this shit. Because I said, free lunch is greater than free Weezy. Because he did that shit. He had cocaine and an illegal firearm. I'm not advocating for Lil Wayne to get out of jail. I'm advocating maybe for a lighter sentence, if that's what would happen. But I need to free Mamiya. I need to free political prisoners. Lil Wayne is none of those. And then he shows you his true colors. And then you're out here running out. These people were like, he made George Bush. Motherfucker, did you listen to the interviews that he said? He don't care about you. He doesn't. Never has, never will. Kanye West has not said a word, but Kanye West was caping hard for Candace Owens and MAGA hats and all this. And here's the point I want to get to. There's a lot of people I mentioned that were defending Kanye West more than Lil Wayne. They were like, he's donated money to criminal reform and Kim Kardashian got some people out of jail. And I say, good. But that does not absolve you of the bullshit that you have been doing. Floyd Mayweather donates turkeys every Thanksgiving. Does that make him any less of a domestic abuser? No, it doesn't. There is such a thing here as doing charity does not automatically make you a better person. I can guarantee you that Michael Jordan has donated causes. But when Michael Jordan was faced with the task in the Carolinas to back a black candidate against a former KKK member, the motherfucker said no. I will never forget that shit. I will not say he had to do it, but it doesn't rank high on my catalog of people who are doing important shit when he had the opportunity to do something and he chose not to. Kanye West has been on the wrong side of history when it comes to this. When it comes to the president who is advocating for shooting people, Kanye should be the first person on the phone who's like, yo, man, that could be me. Or that could be my kids, because I don't know what my kids look like because Kim's had so much surgery. But those could be my kids out there in the streets getting gunned down that you're talking about. His money behind criminal reform is a drop in the bucket. He wears the MAGA hat. He has endorsed this man who called third world countries that are filled with minorities shitholes. A liar. A man who is out here advocating for Obamagate but refuses to tell anybody what the hell it means. This is Kanye West. So when I put out this tweet that Lily White, Taylor Swift can say something that resonates, these two have platforms that they could do the same thing, and they're not. One is purposefully not doing it, and that's Lil Wayne. The other one has the back and has been advocating for the man who has basically said, threatened tyranny on this country on black and brown people, and that's Kanye West. I'm not saying Taylor Swift, somebody called her Savior Swift. No, she's not my savior. But listen, man, you have to acknowledge your allies. Like, people are like, you looking for white people to be your allies. Dude, all skin folk ain't in your kinfolk. Jason Whitlock is not my homie. Never has been, never will be. But I can count a great deal of white people that I know that are more down for the cause than him. So you can't just align to people because they make a song that you like or they're your skin color. Actions do speak louder than words. And a donation is not always action. And Kanye's not the worst. I think he's got a lot of issues. But his advocacy for Trump and saying he'll vote for him in 2020, man, I need him to go on the record and take that shit back because look what he's doing. That's why I can't rock with Kanye. Lil Wayne's a different breed of idiot. Fuck him. Just completely different breed of idiot.
He's just not smart. But I mean, I'm not sure if he went to high school.
He did.
Not being an excuse, but
there's no excuse.
I'm just saying, like,
look,
he took a lot of drugs, too.
A lot of lean. What did your parents say? You ain't got nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing at all. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, a lot of people just can't shut up. And that's what kind of leads us to our next topic to, you know, end the show and kind of not veer away from this, but just to talk about how people handle themselves on social media. So, and we'll dive into cancel culture a little bit here quickly as well. It started about a week ago with Doja Cat. We haven't been able to talk about it because we've had so much actual combat sports. But it started with her and saying the N-word in this fucking racist chat app, I guess, that she's part of and shaking ass for, I don't know, I don't want to call them Republicans, but like socialists. I don't fucking know what they call themselves.
They're all
but she
right.
in there. Alt-right, just busting it open. I don't know. Maybe they appreciate the cakes. I don't know what the fuck they do in those chats. But it goes back to all of this comes out about her. And then she decides to go on IG Live and talk about why she didn't mean to do all these things and how people have it mixed up. To me, in this case, when there's smoke, there's fire. But then people are saying, like, yo, we're going to cancel Doja Cat. That shit lasted like a day. And then it was like, trending uncanceled Doja Cat or we forgive you Doja Cat, some stupid shit. And it's just like, why talk about canceling people? Just say they did some stupid shit they did wrong. if you want to not support them, not support them, but canceling the term has gone so far left that I'm tired of the word canceling. I want to cancel canceling.
It's, man, it's bullshit. And with the Doja Cat thing, we can keep it really brief because I know she's so happy Shameik Moore came around and Michael Porter Jr. They took the heat. They gave her the – they got the hot tag, and she just went to the back. That's what Doja Cat did. But in the case of Doja Cat, I look at her as less harmful than like a Jason Whitlock because I know people are calling her cooning and all this shit. I feel like from all the things that I've read and the people I've known that have met Doja Cat and dealt with her, she's got some issues. Because there's some real attention issues that she's out here trying to get the attention of somebody. I don't think she's like malicious. I just think that she's a goof and needs fucking help. It needs to be pulled out of the spotlight. No touring, no interviews. Get the fuck off of social media. Listen, man, we're going to get into this. Don't go on IG Live if you make a mistake. Don't. It never gets better. Because a lot of you aren't nuanced enough to have that kind of conversation with people who really ain't trying to hear shit you got to say. Rightfully so. So IG, like, Doja Cat going on IG Live, like, don't do that. Like, she needs to disappear. Somebody close to her needs to sit her down and have a conversation with her. What's wrong with you? What's going on? Let's figure this out. Somebody close to her, because it can't be people that don't know her, because all we're going to do is roast her. That's it. But people that care for her need to find out. It's like, why are you going to these chat rooms looking for the attention of people who don't even like you? Like, people that look like you, because you're South African and white. You have daddy issues because your daddy was an actor, but you live with your white mom. There's all these issues here. You have some mental issues. You need to go away. Because the barrier between success and being the common folk is broken down so much because of like social media and SoundCloud and all that shit. There is no label. There is no A&R. There is no media training. None of that exists anymore.
Nope.
You make a song, it becomes a hit, and you're out there. I followed Doja Cat's career since like 2014, and I've liked her music, right? So when I saw this, I was like, oh, she blew up because of Moo, and I was like, what? Like, I've liked her other stuff for years, but Moo popped off, and she got all this acclaim that she clearly was not ready for. And all them skeletons she'd been hiding in her closet came falling out one after the other. And now the fact that she continues to do it means there's something wrong with her. And again, I don't think it's malicious. I don't think she hates black people. I think she's attention-seeking. And people are like, cancel her. No, you're not going to do it. You're not. Say So comes on tomorrow, you're going to be dancing. Stop it. You're not going to cancel her. But what you do need to do is check her, hold her accountable, say we need answers. But all that, like, supreme vitriol where you're like, it's over for your career, like the Jimmy Fallon shit? I'm mad because Jimmy Fallon did a Chris Rock sketch in 2000. Where the fuck were you in 2000? It was on SNL. Everybody saw it. You just saw it today? Like, Tropic Thunder, the outrage for Tropic Thunder and Robert Downey Jr. comes up once every 6 months. But some kid who has never seen Tropic Thunder goes, oh, shit, Robert Downey was in blackface. Cancel him. You're not canceling him. Stop. You're not.
No, that's ridiculous. You can't cancel everyone for everything. Like, sometimes
what does it
fake
mean?
Outrage is unnecessary.
Dog, what
yeah,
is it
like this?
What does it mean?
And like I said about the Saturday Night Live thing with Jimmy Fallon, when this came up and people want to cancel him, he did the brown face for Chris Rock and blah, blah. When I said, my stance on it was, we should have been offended in 2000 when it happened.
Yeah.
If we weren't, if we didn't cancel him then, so be it, my man. Congrats on your career. Let's keep moving. But even then, it was done in the midst of a skit. A lot of people had hands in this. A lot of people could have stopped it. I'm not canceling him. You want to cancel all SNL and the fucking writers and whoever wrote the skit? Now we're going into a deep end. I'm not canceling him. Like, just like Robert Downey Jr. There's a lot that goes into that script. I thought that shit was funny. And it was satirical. It was pointing out the hypocrisy of what Hollywood usually does. The whole movie was pointing out Hollywood hypocrisy. That played a key role in it. I thought that was well played. So people were, they missed the nuance in things.
You know what's the best part about cancel culture? And I know I've mentioned this before and I'll say it again. It's so easy to cancel things that you don't subscribe to. A lot of you motherfuckers, they never listen to Doja Cat. And you're like, cancel her. That's easy.
No, my kids ain't canceling that shit.
Nah, it's so easy to cancel. Like, it's so easy to be against meat if you're a vegetarian. It's so easy. Well, ask these people to cancel Kanye West and watch what happens. But he made College Dropout. Dog, it's not the same thing. Look, I've told you guys my stance. My stance is I don't fuck with you. Not cancel. Because who am I to cancel somebody? I don't have that kind of power. I just don't fuck with you. That's it. That's it. It's really simple. I don't fuck with you. You will not get my support. But cancel culture? It's like fake boycotting. I'm not going to Chick-fil-A. I'm hungry. There's Chick-fil-A. Guess I'm going to eat it. It's like, you guys get over it so goddamn quick. Quit canceling people. Because it's so soft that nobody's buying it anymore. Because who have you successfully canceled? If it's R. Kelly, the law can cancel that motherfucker.
Yeah, and some people still hold on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, cancel culture is a fallacy. It's a trend. It sounds cool, but it's completely ineffective. Stop canceling people. So let's talk about the next person who took the heat. Well, it was Michael Porter Jr. But then we can talk. Let's talk about your man, Miles Morales, from Into the Spider-Verse. Actually, a cat that I know, and I completely forgot I've talked to this kid over the years while it happened, Shameik Moore.
Yeah, so in our show rundown, in the notes, I refused to call him Shameik Moore. I just called him Miles Morales. So, but I don't know if he's going to be Miles Morales so much longer, because he gave his statements on, you know, kind of how everything played out, and then people didn't take kindly to his tweet. Cool. He was advised to shut up, right? Yo, let's figure out a game plan. Let's regroup. He goes on Twitter and says, I'm going on IG Live against the best wishes of my advisors. I'm going on IG Live because I really want to explain myself to the people.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like in a scary movie when they hear a noise and they go, I'm going to go check it out. And you're like, don't check out the noise. And now I'm going to go check it out. And they end up dead. And you're like, well, fuck. That's what it sounds like.
He's the scary movie black guy?
Yeah. I'm gonna check out. Hey, did you hear that? Stay here. I'm going to check it out. And you know it never ends well. Nobody's ever checked out a noise in a horror movie and came back unscathed. And was like, oh, nothing was there. You're going to die. And that's what he did. He went on IG Live and he died.
Yo, the part that takes me out and the part that went viral almost instantly is what he says. People don't know. They don't know. Let me school you. Let me tell you real history. There were black-owned cab companies that Rosa Parks could have taken instead of getting her ass on that bus and sitting where she sat. What? Yo, the Uber jokes of Rosa Parks dialing an Uber? Like, yo, nah, fuck this surcharge. Get it on the bus. Yeah, I understand. It's supposed to be a serious thing. This brought light, a little bit of light, to a very shitty 2 days. Because if one thing we can do as black people is we can roast somebody, regardless of circumstance. And boy, they lit his ass up. Oh, I pray for the brother.
We need to end this.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming as soon as he went on IG Live. Like, yo, some bad shit's about to happen. Our group chat was like, you know what? This isn't going to end well. And then he said this, and I was like, I thought it'd be slightly better than this. This is like the worst case scenario.
Look, so once upon a time, I'm going to keep this brief. We got to get to the end of this show because we got a whole other show to record for you guys. We have a boxing and MMA show. But
yes,
I walked into my wife watching The Housewives one day, and my wife was laughing. And she always laughs because she thinks this shit is so stupid because she watches it in the background when she's working.
By the way, we're going to have one of those shows, Real Housewives of Journalism. Starring Andreas Hill, Kel Dansby, our wives, Big Mac, his wife.
Yeah, okay.
Marcus Vanderberg, his wife. But listen, we gonna do it. We're pulling this off. I'm pitching this right now, if anyone's listening. We're getting the studios behind it. Real Housewives of Journalism. Wow.
So I walked in and my wife is laughing. Like, she's laughing out of control. When my wife laughs out of control, it's usually something really funny. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, Portia. And I'm like, Portia what? And she rewinds it because she had it on TiVo, DVR. And Portia basically asked where the trains were in the Underground Railroad. And I was like, oh, what? She looked for the trains in the Underground Railroad. This Shameik Moore quote was the epitome of trains in the Underground Railroad. Cabs that she could have called? Full disclosure, I met Shameik Moore at the screening of Dope at Sundance, I want to say in 2015. I interviewed him. We debuted one of his songs on Life and Times. I did a profile piece on him for Ozzy. I interviewed him for The Undefeated. We've stayed in contact sporadically throughout the years. I haven't talked to him in about a year. Since after Spider-Verse came out was probably the last time I texted him. And I hadn't really heard from him since. When this situation was happening, I was thinking, I was like, oh, and I wasn't putting the two and two together. I was like, oh, I could just text him. So I hit him. I DM'd him first because I wasn't sure if his number was the same. And I basically told him, don't go on IG Live. Now, he's a celebrity, so I'm sure he's like looking at me. Maybe he doesn't even remember me. I don't know. Like I've always said, I don't think people give a shit what I got to say half the time. But he hasn't responded. But I've reached out to him and said, look, man, if you need to talk, don't talk, but don't do this. Nothing ever good comes out of this because two reasons. One, the people are going to go on your IG Live. They're not your supporters. They're out for blood.
Yep.
There's nothing more than they want but to pick you apart. Two, the media people that are going to be on this are looking for quotes for their next gossip headline. And boy, did you give them one. And it's your fault. It's like if you had a new a conversation with somebody. They said, look, man, this is why this quote that you said ain't work. Because basically you tried to blame, say, what can black folks do better so they can't get killed? What? Nobody wants to hear that shit right now. Read the room. He did a terrible job of that. And somebody should have pulled him aside and said, read the room. And if you're reading the room will tell you, don't get your black ass on IG Live to get roasted. And you became a joke. You became a complete joke out of this. So we also have to remember, when we talk about Wayne and Kanye and Taylor Swift and Shameik Moore and so on and so forth, celebrities aren't smart. It's just not. They're insulated. They lived in these insulated lives. Well, a lot of them have. Some of them are very smart. Like Lupe Fiasco is a very intellectual individual. Like Slip Quality is a very intellectual individual. There's a lot of people who don't know shit about shit. And they get Twitter with no barrier and no like publicist say, don't say that. And they just start tweeting shit. And the publicist is like, yo, oh, I can't believe you did that shit. Don't do anything else. I'm going to go against my team's orders, and I'm going on IG Live. Yeah, they should have fired his ass. Or got a raise, because I ain't staying here for this shit. One of the two, it's like, man. But yeah, one thing black people we can do is make light of a bleak situation. And yes, the Uber memes, one of them had the Uber picking her up on MLK Drive. Oh, I was sick. But it's one of those things where you go, you deserve it because you fucked up.
Yo, I could have put it better myself, man. So that was crazy. Before we get out of here, I just want to give props to someone who did it right on Twitter and says, fuck racism. John Boyaga, shout out to him from Star Wars to saying fuck racist. This guy, he's my boy. How you a black lead in Star Wars? You the man. And this shit only solidifies that. You're not even American.
Nah, he's from London.
Like, but London, yeah. But listen, English people, I know a couple people from London. There's mad Jamaicans over there. So they'd come to New York every summer. Like, my whole block was Jamaican. They got mad family in London. And we used to kick it. It's crazy how much racism they have over there, too.
Yeah.
So he understands it. He's like, no, fuck racist. And then went on IG Live, doubled down on that shit. And he ain't losing not one check because of it. He was like, I dare you to pull something from me. I dare you.
True story.
So shout out to my boy.
I met Boyega when they screened Imperial Dreams at Sundance. It's crazy. I need to go back to Sundance because I met a lot of people at Sundance. But I met Boyega when he screened Imperial Dreams. Him, Rotimi, who was Dre in Power, Anika Noni Rose, and a few other people. We did this like... I did their first interview of the day. I drove in from Vegas. I went straight to the interview. We ended up talking for like 2 hours. I ended up going to the house that they were at later in the day and hung out with Rotimi for a day. And I talked to Boyega. And like, I had my cousin with me. And she was like in love with him because of his accent. Because in Imperial Dreams, if you'd never seen it and you didn't see Attack the Block before that, you wouldn't know that he had like this heavy London accent. But what I realized with Boyega then, which was, this was 5-6 years ago. So he had to be, he was younger. He was about it then. He was real about it. And I was like, I was impressed. So when I saw him do this, I was like, I knew you had it in you. And I love it. I love it. Because it's like, he said, fuck you racist. Like, fuck you. Like, dude, He ain't down with that Star Wars, you know people, what is it, racist like Star Wars too? He ain't down with that shit. Fuck all you. Republicans buy sneakers too, racists buy Star Wars. He ain't down with that shit. He called him out. And yeah, some people are going to be pissed, but I bet your ass go see the next Star Wars movie. He don't care. Yep. So, shout out to John Boyega. And this is what I'm talking about. Taylor Swift says some shit. Kanye and Wayne, you're not, but Boyega is. Look, man, I give him a pass for not saying anything right at this very moment, because he could say something later. So you don't have to say things when I expect you to. My criticism of Kanye is supporting Trump. Lil Wayne is critical because you should have shut the fuck up. Boyega, I applaud because you didn't have to say anything and you chose to. You go on your IG Live and do it. Look, man, we can't expect celebrities to do everything that we want to, but we can hold them accountable for doing the dumb shit that they do. And when we're in this kind of a situation where the climate is raised and stakes are high, and you're a celebrity and you have this platform, either shut the fuck up or you plant your flag. But don't come back here asking for our support when you plant your flag in the wrong fucking sand. That's it.
Nah, word. Hell nah. Don't come running back. So, man, nah, I think that kind of ties up everything we have to talk about on this show. Thank you guys for listening. Yes, you'll still get the boxing and MMA show. We are going to, I guess, record that now and put them out back to back on some Drake shit. So I'm glad we had this conversation, though. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Corner Podcast _ me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. Stay safe. Please make sure you guys do that. And we'll be here. We'll talk about the fun stuff. We'll talk about the tough stuff. But along the way, we appreciate you guys for being here and listening to us voice our opinion on these things. Until next time, though, we're out.
Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.